think this, if everything plays out right, what do you think it falls in the top five?
I can see it at five. I can look at my list, but I could definitely see it at five.
This is Gunpla OG. You watch an Undergated podcast. Boom.
What is going on, YouTube? Back with another episode of the Undergated podcast presented to you by the Undergated Network. I am Coop at It's Coop on Instagram. I have the fellas with me, CD, Chloe's dad, Gunpla X Tesseract or GXT or Austin. Us three come together every Wednesday to give you a brand new episode of the Undergated podcast where we talk about Gundam, anime, TV shows, books, movies, sports. You name it, we talk about it. We talk about it. And this is the place to be Wednesdays at 3 o'clock on YouTube in YouTube land and Spotifyville. So shout out to people that tune in every week on Spotify as well. We don't forget about y'all. We make sure that we are detailed enough so y'all can understand on your drive into work, drive home from work, listening at work. Shout out to y'all. So man, this is going to be a pretty fun episode. We all three went to go see G-Clocks, the movie, or whatever they want to call it. It's not a movie, the first
compilation.
Compilation, OVA. OVA? Yeah. Can I consider it an OVA? And we're going to sit down and talk about it. Pretty much the pros, the cons, what we like, what we didn't like, and so far, where it might be a little too early, but we're right in that time in the NFL too, where we're doing early draft stocks, early mock drafts, right? So it might be an early, where would this fall if it comes, where would this might fall in your list of top Gundam shows? So make sure y'all stick around and tune in for that. But last week we sat down, I was my first week back, felt like Gucci, first day back. sat down and talked about ODO and the Model Mania up in Seattle and my trip up to Seattle. So if you missed last week's episode, this is what you missed. So he was able to bring home, shout out to him for this one. This was dope to see in person. Seeing it online and seeing it in person, like me being a big Sinaju fan, that was pretty dope to see. Pretty dope to see.
Snapped on this.
And that was last week's episode. Like I said, we talked about Model Mania. We went right into ODO as well and talked about all the, you know, just competition, Seattle, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So make sure y'all check out that week's episode, last week's episode, and so you can dive right into this week. So again, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. But of course, as always, before we get started, it's always the greetings. CD, brother, how's your week been?
Man, last week, if you guys don't know, it was Chloe's birthday. She's a leap year baby, so we celebrate her birthday when it's not actually leap year. She used to pick the 28th or the 1st. We actually just celebrated the whole weekend. So everything was about her. A whole bunch of gifts. Went to surprise her class with cupcakes and cookies. So got to hang out with her class for a little bit. Had her last game of the season. Team got embarrassed. She was like super sad, crying after the game. And her coach came up to her because she was the only one on her team crying. And she was like, you know, that shows a real heart because clearly the rest of your teammates don't care. They're like skipping off. So you're going to be good one day. And she said that to Chloe. And I'm like, so now she's in her head like, okay, like maybe I'm going to be all right at this. So, yeah, we're locked in now. Signed her back up for basketball to play in the spring. I'm excited for that. But I do just want to share a quick story for you people out there. This is really important for you to keep your head on a swivel. This past Saturday, I was out picking up some food at about 9:45 at night. And I stopped at a red light, and this black BMW pulled up right next to me with probably the darkest tinted windows I've ever seen in my life, like limo tint. And the guy rolled his window down and goes, hey, somebody threw something at your car. And I usually don't ride with my music super loud because I'm trying to like pay attention. So I cracked my window a little more. I'm like, what'd you say? You know, someone threw something at the back of your car. And as he's saying this, he cuts his eyes to the back of my car. So I look in my rearview mirror and I see a guy pop out from behind the bumper and start pulling on the back door at the red light. So, of course, I hit the gas, get out of there. But, yeah.
Fuck.
crazy.
Oh, man. Shit.
Yeah.
So yo.
I didn't realize this, but it's been going a lot in this area. People have been getting robbed. People have actually been shot over this. So my particular car, when we parked the car, all the doors are locked. So they were hoping that I would park the car and you'd hop in the back. So keep your head on the swivel, people. It could have just as easily been gullible enough to like look, you know, and get out of my car and stop, or you could have told me my tire was flat, I would have pulled over. So keep driving. Yeah. Keep your head on the swivel. Don't have your music too loud. When you're at stoplights, pay attention, because you know this is happening more and more and more.
Be hyper vigilant.
Get off your phone. Please. Don't touch your phone at the lights. Like, yeah. And all I wasn't super freaked out when it happened, but like coming back like the next day, thinking about like, man, like all I could think of was what are the things that I didn't do that I could have done? Like, you know, what if I did unlock my door? What if I did pull over? You know, I don't know if I'd even be here talking to you guys today. So just keep your head on a swivel. That's my two cents in my story. So other than that, though, like I said, pretty good weekend besides that. Sheesh. How about you, Austin?
Here you be, dog. Glad to hear you say so, first and foremost.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Shoot. Stay safe out there, everybody. Sick as a dog right now. Been caught a cold at work. Me and like three other people got it, and now it's spreading across the office. So it's a geez, I'm sorry, I'm doing it in the mic, Lord have mercy. But I'm sick, so
but he's still here for y'all, folks.
Yeah,
he's still
here for exactly y'all. We appreciate it, man. We're gonna Cooper,
how's your day?
It's been going, man. Pushing through every day, working hard every day, attacking every day, learning every day, growing every day. One day closer. So that's pretty much it. Just been chilling, trying to relax, trying to push through. So that's it, man. That's all I got. Hopefully everybody out there, y'all having a good week. And if not, it will get better. I can contest to it. CD can contest to it. Austin can contest to it. So make sure you're taking care of your mental first and then take care of everything else. Yep. You can't do anything without that mental.
Wash
next
your
up,
hand.
We have...
Oh, yes.
Wash your hands. Wash it. Just wash yourself. Please. Next up, we have building and breaking out of backlog. What new items we added in the backlog? I'm going to go short and sweet for me. Zero.
Donut.
Goose egg. Nothing. CD, you got anything?
I did get something in. Shout out Vulcan. You guys showed it off last week. But I did get my copy. I don't think I showed it. The Plamo magazine. So super, super hyped for this. Yeah, shout out Vulcan, man. And you know, for people that haven't got theirs or haven't read through it yet, I just wanted to say, he didn't have to do this, but he did. You know, get a full page spread about the Undergated. So if you guys have it, make sure you guys tune in, read a little bit about us, and you know what we're doing in the community. I'm sure you guys already know since you watched the pod, but still, shout out Vulcan. And I did get one more thing. Like I said, it was Chloe's birthday, and the missus had camped out the week before to get her this box called Labubus. It's like the new little craze. And then I was gifted my own Labubu. This is soybean. So Chloe wanted me to make sure I show this off. These are, I bought her one for $66. Coop was there, he knows. I was like, bro, this shit's crazy. They're normally priced $21. So I paid three times the price resale. Yeah, for this.
It's crazy. Yeah, he's right.
Is it?
It's like a new Crave. I don't know what it is.
Is it like a Teletubby? Is it like...
It looks like a gremlin. This is a furry gremlin. So there's a bunch of different colors. There's like one like mystery one that's like one in 172. So everyone just buys a case hoping to get the mystery one. But they're super popular. And like the resale value, like I said, I clearly paid $66 for it. Not knowing, so...
Sheesh.
We have a bunch of these now. But yeah, Labubu. So people like decorate these and dress them up. Chloe has like a whole outfit on her. My sister like crochets, so she crocheted Chloe some outfits. I told her I'm gonna put a ski mask on mine and give him a chain. So
we'll see. Have that
right. What you just went through.
Yeah, yeah. After having what you went through, have one with you at the stoplight.
Yeah,
that way you roll down the
traumatized.
Right?
Let's just say in my door handle, I have a problem solving it now. So
shoot. Hey, he opened that door. He see LaBooBoo in a ski mask.
Gonna be little boom boom.
About to have boom, some boo-boos.
A hole in his chest.
About to have some boo-boos on your face, huh?
Yeah.
Goddamn boom shakalaka out like you NBA jam.
So yeah, the last thing he's on here is a fucking boo-boo. Yeah, but that's it. Austin, you got anything?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I do have some stuff. I promise next week I had a nice haul. Next week I will have a nice haul.
The first I still got Koof Corner coming out too. I just to be honest with you, just try to get back in the mojo of everything, people. So I still got to put that out there, and I got a decent amount of stuff that in the last few weeks, but y'all are going to see. So we appreciate everybody who's patient with me when it comes to that. So make sure y'all got your notification bells turned on, so when that drops, y'all go, you can view the trip and then a little bit of everything as well. Next up, we have What's Cooking with some photos, videos, photos, books, TV shows, mangas, pits, you name it. We want to talk about it. And what I have kind of cooking is right now, Solo Leveling Season 2. I'm probably halfway through Season 2.
Oh, you're halfway through it?
Halfway through it.
Damn.
I'm on like Episode 5 of Season 2.
Did he already get the orcs?
Yeah. Wait. The orc?
The red ones. He's already made like the high orcs and shit.
Nah.
Not yet.
Nah.
I think that's Episode 5 and 6 is the high
orcs. I think I just found out his lineage. I just found out his lineage, if that makes sense. I'm not trying to spoil it for the people out there, but I found out his lineage.
He's that man.
And that episode right into Season 1, in the Season 1,
Episode 12, we fought
the Armored Knight.
Yeah.
I was like.
When he finally got it, arise.
Right. I think that was the name of the episode.
Yes. That shit is lit.
So, Solo Leveling Season 2, still almost done with Inner Excellence, the book I've been telling y'all about. And for people that think I'm just joking, like, nah, it looks like a college workbook now.
Yep.
We are highlighting and specializing on certain things to get us better in life. Have a different mindset. So for people out there, here you go, read the back of it. Develop mental toughness, train your subconscious, overcome mental blocks, develop empowering habits, and transform your life. $15 on Amazon. $15 on Amazon. So we got maybe about a few more pages left, and I might reread it. Keep rereading it. And myself, I'm cooking on myself. If that makes sense for the people out there, working on myself, try to get back to make sure I'm still in the gym and working out every day and reading and taking the time. And like I was telling CD and Austin the other day, just also putting like social media down, man. If I'm in this mindset right now where if it's not helping me, I really don't want it. Instagram, the people I talk to on Instagram, obviously they help and make sure I'm good to go in my conversations up there. But other than that, that's about it. Still working on this guy, trying to figure out if I want to paint certain things, like maybe paint the visor, break the helmet down and paint the visor. Because never built a GS grade, but the high grades, they have the foil sticker for the eye. Or they'll have like a chrome in the back, and then you put the clear piece over it to give it that shine. So we'll see. But try to have this guy finished up by next week.
You know, put it on your desk at work.
Maybe we'll see. Top coat. I don't know what I want to do with it. I don't know if I want to just gringy it up with a couple of the pencils that Austin gave me, and because if I do that, obviously I'm not going back and painting it. So, but that's all right. That's all right. Let's just enjoying the process. So, and sometimes some of the best work I've seen might not even be painted. Shout out to Cobra Play. He built that, what is it, Hardline 135th scale. What's that?
Which one?
Was that his? The Core Fighter?
I think that was Dan.
Dan, but I think Cobra had one.
Yeah, the Cobra had something. The G unit.
The G armor. And his wasn't painted. Mm-hmm. It was just top coated and weathered, and it looked good. So you can do. Right. You don't have to paint everything.
Nope. It's going to be painted, but you don't have to.
Yeah. Paint.
True.
Look at you, turn over a new leaf. Not might just snap it.
But that's all I've been working on, fellas. What about you, CD? You been working on anything?
Nothing as far as kits. I did get a chance to prime up the Machine Krieger. I just haven't sat down and started painting it yet, so I'll come back to that. I did order some decals and stuff, so I do want to start getting on that Marisami Kai. Have some decals on the way for the GM that I'm working on. So I do have some stuff in the works, kind of cleaning up the garage right now to get the desk in there so I can set the air roof on there, get my air compressor in there, and kind of just get back in the groove of things. So just, it's a process. Everything seems like it's a process right now. I did finish 5 books in February, the last one being Dark Matter. It's a really, really, really good book. Actually, it's probably one of the best multiverse themed books I've read. It's about a former scientist turned professor who kind of gave up his life's work to be a family man. One night his best friend wins a very coveted science award, and he gets followed home on the way from that and kidnapped. And then the main character wakes up in the same Chicago that he believes he's in, but it's an alternative timeline where he doesn't know anyone there, but everyone knows him. And in his regular timeline, himself, he pretty much gets kidnapped by himself and switches timelines. Because in his previous timeline, he doesn't have a wife and he doesn't have a kid. And he's always wanted that. So he kind of takes over the other guy's life. So now the main character has to kind of get back to his own timeline and kind of gets mixed up in different timelines. Yeah. It's a really, really good book. There's a Netflix series. If you guys don't want to read the book, it's fairly good. I watched the first episode yesterday and it's pretty close to the book. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting. But really, really, really good. Really, really, really good book. I haven't been doing a great job of keeping you guys updated on my books on Instagram, so look to my story. I'll be doing that as of today when this drops. I'll have a little story of all the books I've read this year. So if you want to see what I've been reading, go ahead and look at my story. As far as shows, I've been watching the show called Paradise. It's on Hulu. I don't know if you guys have heard of that show.
That's the one with Sterling Brown.
Yes, Sterling Brown.
I want to watch it.
Yeah. Season finale just happened, so you can now go ahead and just binge it. It is really fucking good. Already confirmed for season 2. Suspense, thriller, kind of like mind-boggling shit going on. I'm not going to say too much. I want everyone to watch it. Watch Paradise. And yeah, that's about it.
Dope.
Awesome. What about you, brother?
Oh, geez. Excuse me. For me, I was going to order some more decals for some other kits I was working on. But another funny story. I forgot to say this in the last segment. Somebody tried to use my debit card to help themselves to some funds. And I got the fraud alert on my phone. And it said, hey, your debit card was just used. Someone tried to get 60 cents from a website called MasterCardRat.com. Was that you?
Yeah.
What do you think? Fraud button, click.
Yeah.
And called up my bank and they were like, oh yeah, no, we're just going to terminate everything and send you a new one. And I was like, all right, dope. So whoever was trying to
order from Sushi King too, that wasn't me either.
Yeah. All those sandwiches. Yeah, that wasn't me. Those 6 sandwiches in one day. How could that possibly be me?
Fraud.
Like, ignore the Jimmy John bags in the back. So right now I'm on a hold of getting any new kits and anything like that. Everything's on hold until I'm secure. So in the meantime, I decided to just keep on trucking along on the Bugger Pinte, and it's finished. It is completely done. There are some things I could have done a little bit better. And I'll tell you this, man, the get there itis or the finish itis was strong with this one. Right. You start to cut corners on yourself and you start to realize that you made a mistake here and there.
You'd be running around in a circle.
Right. And you just like, well, if I just took the time to sit there and just do it correctly, I wouldn't have to be worrying about this.
Let the paint dry fully, not touchless.
Remove the clear parts. Yes. Just because it says clear top coat doesn't mean it's going to dry clear. Yeah. So, and also, you know, if you're willing to, right. So with this kit, what I did is I painted it first, painted it, then clear coated it to protect the paint, and then did the decals, and then clear coated it again. I didn't do any weathering. I did do some scribing on this, so there are custom lines here on the legs. I'll show it later on the Instagram where you guys can have a better look. But yeah, I did that, and what I realized when I did that second line of top coat, the kit wasn't as clean as it could have been. And the can, I was using a rattle can of clear because I was like, I have a rattle can of clear. It's easy. It'll be quicker if I just do that. That rattle can did something that the airbrush hasn't yet on me, which is spit. It went, and there's like droplets everywhere on the shield, so I had to clean that up. And then try to then clear hood again, and thankfully I was able to save it. But if you look clearly closely in some spots, you can see like the remnant of where a splotch was. So I still have to clean that up with polish. And then the clear parts right here are actually from the Pinte Bure or the Bugger Bue, whatever. The clear ones here, I tried to clean off the clear coat on those because I left the clear parts on it, and I put it in airbrush cleaner, thinking that it would take all the top coat off. The airbrush cleaner is essentially an adhesive when it gets in contact with rattle can stuff, so it became glue. So you would take the clear part out and it would be like a long string of ooze coming out of it. And thankfully I have my gloves on. Yeah, it melted it. Yeah, and I have my gloves on thinking it. So I was like, well, that's a sacrifice. So yep. Threw that in the trash. But yeah, no, overall, it is done. I like this little parts that the shields is actually the coolest thing about the kit. All that stuff opens, completely expands like that.
Yeah, it looks pretty sturdy too. What about the tube?
Oh, dude, it's this thing is rock solid. Nothing here is moving, right? And it's because it's all plastic on plastic. Plus with the paint in between it, it's so sturdy in the hips. I almost feel like I'm gonna break them whenever I try to move them. And you can hear it too. We can't hear it that time, but yeah, you can hear when you first move, you go,
yeah,
you're like, oh Jesus. And it takes a good amount of force, but I'm currently working on the photo editing for it. So yeah, I didn't upload any work in progress shots. I usually do that with this kind of stuff, but for this one, I took work in progress shots. I'm editing. I have a small journal, but it's not as many as I usually take. Usually I take a pretty thorough, in-depth, this is here, now it's time for painting, and I'll do like 3 or 4 posts of the in progress. This just was trucking along, took pictures when I could, when I felt like it, here and there. But yeah, nah, it's pretty much finished. Now I'm just going to be trying to sit here and just, you know, edit the photos, make sure they look good, and after that, I think what are we gonna do after that? After that, we have to do the regular Bugger and then the other Grassley House units, and then the Witcher Mercury, at least the Grassley House stuff would be pretty much have a done.
Witcher Mercury display type shit, it looks like.
Well, you know what's crazy? It's just something that came over me. I was like, you know what? I kind of really want to build these Witcher Mercury kits. I don't know what came over me. Usually, I like I told you guys before, this was not one of my favorite designs in the show. But you know me, I'll say I don't like the design, and then I'll say, well, let me put my mouth where my money is,
yes.
or let me go find out for myself and test my own judgment.
And then next thing you know, you have 15 of the kits.
Right. Next thing you know, I have 30 different collections, different like. Different colors and two backups, and I'm like, all right, well, now I have all of them. But no, that's me.
Well, that's what's up, man. It looks good. I like that color scheme, that purple and red color scheme.
So I'm glad you got the red instead of making brown too.
Yeah, I shared last time with everybody. That was a trip. That was a trip. And you know what's crazy? It's still, the red is actually a little bit too vibrant. It's still, anyway, I still didn't get it dull enough, which is fine. I just accepted my fate.
Yeah,
I was like, okay. Yeah, this is who I am. This is who I will be for here on.
Oh shit!
We can't wait to see what the rest of it comes down to be, and comes out to be, and put it all together. Maybe Austin should try to do like one of those bases, just like a big base, and put all the Witch for Mercury kits on that. That would be dope to see. Or like an action, like really utilize action bases and have one flying this way, one, you know.
I mean, shit, you could almost recreate some of the scenes, because a lot of those are group fights. You got all the damn kits, all the right. system, all the fights.
I have...
Bless you, my brother.
Bless you.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
I have two of the Lefrif pre-production types, the Lefrif and now the Biergebu, so I can do the opening prologue.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Get the next sneeze in.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's all right.
Go ahead, brother.
I'll just drown myself in water.
Well, that's what's up, man. Hopefully everybody out there, they're working on, you know, some good kits, and if not, you know, you're working on yourself in the meantime. I was looking at the what's new portion of the, like, Gunpla Nerd, shout out to him, the honorary member of the pod. He doesn't know it, or they don't know it. Yep. But not a whole lot's coming out with the what's new type of stuff, man.
Nope.
We got a silver, no, that's not even that's the silver bullet suppressor artifacts. It just wasn't a good week of airing like new stuff, so we can skip over that portion, man, and dive right into the nitty gritty of this episode, because this is where it's going to get fun. So people, we're gonna let y'all know now, we appreciate everybody who came through, enjoyed the pod, you know, see what we picked up. Right. If we picked up anything for you, but this is where we're going to talk spoilers. This is a whole spoiler section. See y'all next week. 168 hours down, another 168 hours to go. If you were like, all right, you know, chill out and wait till next time, or go watch the show and double back and come hear our review. So this is where we talk about G-Quacks, the OVA 3-episode compilation, whatever you want to call it, and give our takes on it. Let's go around the room.
I would say write it down 10. If you got a paper.
1 through 10. Where does it fall? CD, 1 through 10. Where does this fall? 8.5. 8.5. Mine. I don't got no paper around me, brother. I want to give it a solid 6.
6.
Solid 6.
Solid 6.
And brother Austin, if you had to give it a rating, 1 through 10. It is a big
sheet of paper. Big sheet of paper.
A 0?
Five.
Oh.
5.
Austin.
A 5. So five. Austin gave it a 5.
Maybe
I gave it a 6.
Yeah.
Ooh, even a 4.5. Which is wild, because, you know, I was talking to Coop yesterday. I was like, our scores are usually flipped. It's usually Coop with the lowest, Austin with the highest, me in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's not
all the way jacked.
And we're gonna give the pros, the cons of what we liked about it and what we didn't like about it. So let's start off with the pros. What's something that we didn't like about it? I mean, what we did like about it.
Go ahead and start with the cons. Good or bad?
You want to start with the cons?
Yeah.
Do the bad? Okay. Cons with me. I'm just not a big fan of the. I'm not a big fan of the suit design. I mean, I get it. We want different people coming in from different avenues and trying, you know, new things. But I'm not a big fan of the suit design, and I'm
all suits
well
or
packed.
G-Quacks or of all the suits,
for all of them, the Zaku, the Gundam. All the mobile suits, the GM, that Gundam 01 was pretty dope. But overall, And I am up to here with a battle system. I'm tired of any type of battle system. Like, we get it. We get it. And Austin gonna probably dive right into that later when we talk about it. We talked about that on the phone too. But I'm just tired of a battle system, man. We haven't had a straight Gundam war type. I mean, not including RFV, but like since Barbatos, IBO, since the last time they gave us a Gundam series where it wasn't like a go here, do this, and win this fight type of deal. Because after that, I mean, you got the
tournament arc.
A tournament arc, yeah. Like, I'm done. I'm done with it. I'm done. I don't know if it's just because the shonen in me, or I've seen enough of it, but I'm not a big fan of like the 2v2. It's almost like they try to take the video, what people love about video games. Next, we're gonna have a Gundam, but it's gonna be in a world where it's like the circle is closing. Fortnite, like, and it's gonna be
that type of
battle system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or
right, like.
What is it? Was it with Sword Art Online, but with the pink rabbit? What's it called, CD? Gungale Online.
Oh, Gungale. Yeah. And the fact that I got a second season, that's not Gundam. We'll not talk about it. Austin, what did you not like about it? For 4.5 to 5.
It was actually, I was actually going to start off with what I do like about it. It's probably easier to go into what I don't like. I guess what I don't like about it the most would be just right with Coop, the battle system. I just couldn't care less. There's in my opinion, battle systems have been played out. There's no stakes in my opinion, really. Like there's no actual death, and you could tell that there wasn't that many stakes at risk either, because when the girl was our main character was in the GQX fighting in the last fight, she didn't even have a helmet on. If you notice, right? So like, if
she had a Scully,
yeah. So if, like, if the cabin punctured, if there was no air, if there's something like that, right? I took that, and I look at movies maybe a little bit weird, but I took that little note there as she's not even wearing a protective helmet, right? As a notion of, okay, then there's no real risk that's going on here. There's nothing really at stake. And they're like, well, Char didn't wear a helmet. Yeah, but Char accepted the fact that every time he got in a mobile suit that he was going to come home or he was going to die, right? He says that in the series. He tells Lala that, right? She's just not wearing one because she's, well, I'm here. Yeah. And we need money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's...
Yeah, he said the same thing. Yeah, you're right. He did say that. He even told a dude from the Black TriStar. He was like, yeah, you can't even go up there with that outfit. He said, it doesn't matter what I got on if I die, right? So, yeah, you're right about that.
So it's small. It's things like that. And I don't know. I'll take something what Cole said, because Cole laid it out perfectly when I was listening to him. Shout out to Cole, by the way. I just don't understand what the series is, who the series is for. It's trying to entice old school Gundam fans and new crowds of people. And I think that it makes us interested that Char exists and how this whole story is supposed to intertwine. But I mean, I don't know. Is for a broader audience, they won't really get how Char's significance is that important. If it's for a brand new audience, I mean, I just don't feel... Well, I feel like there's enough context to get you in there, but I'm not sure how well it's going to be there for you to stay, if there's enough meat on the bone for you to stay. And I have a whole host of things, but if when I get into what I talk about, what I like about it, it'll be easier for me to flow into exactly what I don't like. These are all kind of intertwined.
Mm. What about you, TD?
This almost makes me feel like my score is even higher, because I don't have a problem with the battle system. I don't have a problem with, you know, her not having a helmet. I feel like it was cut a little weird, but that's personally probably because they had to turn three episodes into one. So now I'm thinking maybe my score is even higher. I actually don't really, there wasn't anything I really didn't enjoy about it. Maybe just kind of how they buzzed through the 1 year war part, but I'm a casual Gundam fan, so the 1 year war just... If you gave me a timeline to put shit on there, I couldn't tell you. So there wasn't anything I disliked that stood out enough to me to even like drop my score down.
So to counteract what you said, counteract your score, and I know your score is your score. That's just off the. Is it relative bias? Is what I'm trying to. Is it No. Because it just came out, it's fresh. It's a Gundam series.
I didn't give that high of a score to Witcher Mercury.
No, you didn't. But 8.5 is a pretty high score to where that's not that far from what Aether Mesh Team.
Like I said, it might even be 9. I don't remember sitting up and like in the theater. I can't remember sitting and like enjoying 3 more episodes of a show than I did like since Unicorn. Like I said, I'm not the biggest 1 year war. I don't think I'm a UC guy. I'm more of just like I said, a casual Gundam fan, and it got me interested. Oh, you know, maybe I would go back and, you know, watch more just UC Gundam stuff, watching the first part, but then also having this new style, the new art style, this almost like a traumatic shift in art, music, and like design language of characters pulled me in even more than, you know, some of the other shows. And like I have fully coolly hit tatted on my arm, so just knowing that they were like, you know, I played a role in, and I love Evangelion, so just all that kind of tied into seeing a new art form and a new type of Gundam. I didn't care for the Zakus, but I do enjoy seeing this new design language throughout the show, throughout the characters. It was fun to me. Like I guess I don't remember the last time I like sat up and like was really like enthralled into a Gundam series as much as I have been with this one.
And you know what's funny is that everything about this show. Oh, go ahead, Coop.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, you know what's funny is that I should really have enjoyed this when I think about it, because I was going through my notes and thinking about like, this has everything that I like about anime kind of in it, right? It has the Eureka 7 factor, where like it has a giant interdimensional cross like time wave type of travel thing that goes into it. For all those that have watched the Eureka 7 High Evolution series, you know what I'm talking about. It has cute girls doing cute things, right? It's got Evangelion mecha designs, which I love the Evangelion mecha designs. I don't own any of the model kits, but I do like watching them move animation wise. And it's got an abbreviated 1 year war, which was nice to go through. And it's got what was it? It's got like the fresh and brand new factor, which I've always said I always embrace something that's brand new, as long as they try something new, than just, you know, trot on the same thing over and over again. I'd rather get something new every now and then than just always do the same thing. But for me, just wasn't hitting. Just around everything.
Is it because you had the expectation of being a Gundam series? If this wasn't a Gundam series and you just kind of seen it, you think it would be different, or just regardless?
No, I mean, once again, like Witcher Mercury was the most different Gundam series we've ever had, and I enjoyed every minute of it. So I was ready 100% to
see. So how you feel about Witcher Mercury? This is how I feel about this. Like I'm for it. I even like the G-Quark design. I hit Chris after the movie, and I was like, yo, I need one.
Before, my thing is that high rating, man. I mean, throw that rating compared to G Gundam, Mesh Team.
I don't know. I don't know if they're comparable, though. I think we're comparing apples to oranges, though. Because if we're going
to
say that...
So we're comparing fruit to fruit.
Well, I mean, let's compare Silence of the Lambs to Superbad. Superbad has a higher rating. Silence and Lambs, yes. But they're completely different things. Which I'm not 100% sure if that's true, but I know there are comedy movies that have higher ratings than Silence of the Lambs, which I always thought was weird.
Yeah, look at my gut. Like I've never been a UC type of guy. Like Unicorn's my favorite show, but I've never considered myself a UC guy. I don't even consider myself like that huge of a Gundam guy. Like when I say I'm a casual Gundam fan, I really mean that. So I pick a show. That I pick a show.
Doesn't make you a casual fan, brother.
Huh?
That backlog doesn't make you a
that's
casual.
That's model kits, though. That's different.
He's that's a Gunpla fan. Oh, okay, got you. He's a mecha fan for watching, yeah. But a Gunpla fan for building.
I'm a casual Gundam fan. Like I've only watched Unicorn is the most watched show. Everything else I've maybe seen once or twice. So like when you guys can go back and watch any episode. When you guys talk 1 year war shit, I'm like this.
Yes.
So like she and Char, that shit was dope, seeing him getting the Gundam and like put the like shit like that, like, you know, I like that stuff, and that's why I kind of like this Gundam, because it's something I've never seen. Witcher Mercury was cool, but I never was like super enthralled into it like I was this. Like I didn't like Saleta as a character. I felt like she was annoying to me, like versus Machu. We don't know too much about her, but she doesn't, you know, come off as annoying. I feel like she has a lot more backstory we have yet to find out yet. So the rating is high because I genuinely felt like this is one of the few Gundam shows I've been able to sit through and like get super excited for.
By the way, I'm calling it now. So spoilers, everybody. Spoilers. If I get this right, I'm sorry. Calling it now. Machu is a Pew clone. A Pew 2 clone.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly. They're like, the test subject has escaped the facts. They showed like like she got arrested type of mugshot type of thing with her eyes blurred out. And she's short with red hair. And she can control a mobile suit immediately.
With ease.
And is able to use the Psycho Kami system immediately. I'm like, oh, she's a Pew 2 clone. That's easy.
And we can all agree that Char's consciousness is in the Gundam.
In the red
Gundam. Char's. So people that, if you haven't seen it and you don't care about the spoilers, it's almost like a two-part show. You get the beginning, what we know of Gundam, right? Like that first episode, the Zaku's creep on side 7, find the Gundam. Besides Char saying, I think in the show, Char was like, we're going to, in the normal UC, he's like, we're going to go ahead and just investigate. Like, lead Izaku's here. We're going to go investigate.
Somebody was missing too, wasn't there? There was like another guy that starts actually shooting. They said Izaku was broken or some shit.
Yeah. Denim and Slender, I think their names are.
Bright's not in the film. Go ahead.
Yeah, Bright's not in the film. And in this one, Char's like, look, I got my name doing this. Let's light him up.
Yeah.
Right, and the dude was like, hold on, yo, there's one more mobile suit back there. And Char was like, look, leave it alone, I'll go get it. And that's when he go captures the Gundam you see here. And he does, it's pretty much a reenactment of everything from the beginning. The Zaku is not the one that gets slashed through that iconic scene where the Gundam slashes the Zaku or punctures the Zaku. It's the Gundam puncturing a GM. And the GM was solid. Pretty dope to see the GM. But after that, Char takes it back to show Cassilia, pretty much. This is,
steals the white base.
Mm-hmm. Steals the white base. Transition. Everything. Mm-hmm. Everything goes into.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And you know, it's funny. We went and saw this with Joe and Kenneth. And Joe and Kenneth, I know you had to go home, Cooper, but we were literally in a truck for like almost an hour just talking about the film. The most exciting stuff that we were talking about for almost an hour straight was just the implications of what happened during the 1 year war and Zeon. We were talking about Shin Masanaga, Johnny Raiden. We're talking about the Cassilia still alive. We're talking about how Kuve is now the Grand Chancellor of Zeon. All this interesting things that actually interested me was like the implications of the Zeon stuff. And then when we got to the new characters, I couldn't, there is nothing for me to like. I understand that the 1 year war in OG Gundam has a lot of history and a lot of old lore that I can link onto, and these new characters are just gotten here. But I mean, I've run into new characters in anime that have gripped me in the first episode, right? It's just something about their character, something that they do. Apothecary Diaries had me first episode, right? Frieren had me first episode, right? Rekka 7 had me first episode, but I look at this, I don't know, it's just I probably might miss this, honestly. I might wait till it's over, maybe catch a couple clips on YouTube and then call it.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the design either. I actually
like the designs though. Yeah, I actually do. Are we getting into what we like?
yeah, we can jump into what we like. I did enjoy mm-hmm, like I said, that first part, the first part of the movie, or whatever you want to call it, the UC stuff, because it felt like it was a different telling, obviously, because it was a different telling of the UC, and it was a what if. And I'm a big what if fan. Like, I like the what if from the Marvel series and stuff like that. So just the. I wish if I had to make this, they went a little too far out. They went a little too far out with the designs. Seeing it on the kits do not do it, obviously, justice, because it looks better in motion. It does look better in motion.
It looks better in motion.
And I want to let Austin get into the scene because he was excited for that scene. That for some apparent reason, no.
There's a picture of it. Go back to that last picture.
Mm. I got you. Oh, yep, it sure was. This scene in the bottom left-hand corner, if you watch it on YouTube.
That.
I don't know why nobody thought about that. Like, and Austin, tell them about what we're looking at.
That shit was dope. Okay, so for a long time, you can rotate the head of the Gundams, essentially. But no, but very few times have they ever rotate them completely 180 degrees.
Right? They treat them like they model kids, but
yeah, they treat like they can't do it. This one is designed in a way where the Vulcan, he literally was fighting. And by the way, the my favorite fight in the whole show, funny enough, happened with Char when he was taking on the Gundam version 1, Gundam 01, and the prototype, I mean, the captured Zaku. Dude, that fight scene was sick. It was nice, well-paced, fast action. The sound was amazing. Not the soundtrack, just the sound effects of like firing the gun, launching off. And the coolest scene where he dodges a missile shot from the prototype Gundam. And he and his Gundam is now has back turned to the enemy. So he rotates his head 180 degrees and just lights him up with the Vulcans. And I was like, yeah. And then reorientated himself to where his head was at. I was like, God dang. And then when he went up and he kicked this Gundam, the prototype Gundam 1, in the visor, it had four eyes that lighted up like an Evangelion. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is sick. That was my favorite fight scene in the whole film. I could watch that on repeat. That was dope. And the designs, they're growing on me. I'm still probably not going to buy a model kit besides the RX-78, the white version too. Probably with the Saikamu little things, but paint them like Federation colors. But yeah, nah, it's that was a dope fight scene, and that sold me on the designs. Was when I saw that. Okay, they may look weird, but it's weird on purpose, as in right. The makes Evangelion sense. Right, the Evangelion designs were made in a way where they can mimic human movement very well. I was like, okay, so these Gundams are made to mimic human movement, not robotic movement, human right. movement. I was like, oh, okay, that's all right. Now I'm sold. Still don't like the debug, but
in the red sold. Gundam in the city, like when they're kind of fighting with the police, like you kind of see like it's more Evangelion movement, more human like movement. I definitely enjoyed seeing that shit.
I even like the Zakus, but particularly the police Zakus with the fuel tank and thruster assist and space on the back. Because it reminded me of Kingfisher 1, which was a short animated series where they made like these prototype Zaku type of look machines that are like different mecha. It looked cool to me. So I'm sold on designs, but story, I'm just still iffy.
On the Zakus? There was a Dom in there. I did like the yeah. quick glimpse of the Dom, P-Bandai probably, but...
Oh, yeah. Brother, P-Bandai everything. This was right. a commercial for P-Bandai.
So this is the scene where I believe that Char is in this, and he recognizes the old girl in this scene. So that this scene, the Red Gundam was fighting the G-Quacks, right?
Yep.
It was fighting the G-Quacks. The shield of the Red Gundam flew off, and he caught it. It was about to fall on them two, and he caught it or blocked it.
Yeah,
What's crazy is Shuji is controlling this Gundam, right? He's inside of it, but it was probably Char that was telling him, like, hey, right. go get her right. girl, go get our girl.
So how we feel about the kind of like the head of what's his name? Bull. Yeah.
Char's boy. Char's Mav.
Mav. That got me too.
He's
Mav a, people is another word for wingman. If you're watching it,
my partner in crime. Yeah,
that's it. You have to wait all the way to the end to find out what the hell they were talking about.
I will say that that every character at least has distinct personalities and environments around them that kind of support it, because our I forgot his name already. The guy we're looking at here on the screen. Bull. He's very in control, very proper, very crisp. Every time he was on screen, he was wearing a suit that was tailored, crisp, right? Ironed, professionally done, right? But what's dope is you go to the Junkers, right? And everything around our guy here, it's like nice, proper, clean. The car he got into, the seat he was sitting in, the ship he's on. But you got to the Junkers, and they had sticker bombed everything, and it was using like 1990s technology. They had USB-A's, like USB 1 or 2.0s, right? And everything was sticker bond, which was really cool. And they had the satellite that was sticker bond. I was like, the
graffiti too.
Yeah, Cyberpunk. Graffiti, everything, right? I was like, this is nice because this reminds me of like Tony Hawk Pro Skater days, mm-hmm. right? A type of level of aesthetic. I was like, that's pretty nice how they did the dichotomy there. But continue.
How do you feel about this girl right here? I don't know her name.
Couldn't care less.
She has about 3 minutes of airtime.
But they made it seem like she's so important. The leader of
Russia. I mean, we also have 30, I don't know, 36 more episodes, so she could be, but
that's just 12. Just 12 more episodes.
I thought it was a
26?
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be 2 24 episode series.
Oh, 2 24 episodes?
I think so.
Oh wow.
I think it's gonna be longer than Witch of Mercury. So I think they realized that they rushed the end of Witch of Mercury. And I think they won't make that same mistake again. At least I hope not.
Well, we'll see. We'll see how many artists are at the end of season one, right. And we'll see how much money it costs for them.
Right. I did like how they showed the new type awakening shit. So it's kind of like a funnel. Even when Char was beamed away, I liked how
you like that.
Yeah, I did. I did.
That reminded me of Eureka 7, like a summer of love burst. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, that's I get that. It just, but you know what? It didn't make me happy. It just made me upset that we aren't getting another Eureka 7.
Yeah, I mean,
I was just thinking.
I don't understand
how they showed new types. That's why I think they had to kind of bring in the 0080 shit 79 into this if they wanted to talk about new types, because they kind of have to explain that shit. This is going to be an alternate timeline. And I liked how they
give
a visual representation of that shit. Instead of just armor like shaking his head and shit.
I kept thinking it was another version. All that colorful stuff was another version of when Armuro pushed Axis away and all the green light and all the that's what I thought it was, their version of that. Like, because they kept saying like Kirikiri. Yeah, like I thought that was like their version of whatever it was called when Armuro pushed the
you remember that Axis clip that just came out in Japan that we I don't know if we reviewed it, but it was like Char and Armuro
in
Japan in the beginning. Lala was like traveling through that same looking shit, and that just reminded me of that. So it was like, so I feel like they're in like a voice, they're in like a song, and I feel like that's Lala because it looks exactly like that shit did. So
it's all one big music video. That would be dope.
TikTok in there somewhere.
That would be dope. Yeah.
I am not a fan. I am not a fan of the main girl, Machu. I'm not like, and that's just not me being like, I'm not, things don't really make me laugh as much as they normal people do. And I feel like they really push the limit with her sometimes. Like, what was that scene where they drew her and they made it look like she was a cartoon and kind of just standing there? Like going la la la, like, and I was like I don't got time for the it doesn't click all the way until later type of mentality, like, oh, like over the head type of mentality. So
more or less than Saleta.
They're about right there. Even I don't give a damn about none of them.
I kind of like my nervous, annoying characters that get stronger as they go on. That's why I think Renton is one of my favorite characters of all time, because he starts off nervous and doubty, and then by the end of it, he's actually willing to make sacrifices and actually becomes an adult. Same thing with Saleta, right? By the end of it, she's willing to make a sacrifice. Her, she's get-go. She's Korra from Avatar The Last Airbender, Legend of Korra for me. Kind of already set with everything. It's just her personality and attitude that's the issue that needs to turn around. And I was like, well, the only part she can grow here, really. I mean, she's already good.
I don't even say she was good, though, because she was getting her kind of ass kicked until she had that new type awakening. Same with Shuji. They were getting their ass kicked together in that fight. And they both kind of eventually linked up. So I kind of like that, you know, they didn't make her just hop into the Gundam and be like fucking OP from the get-go. I feel like we're going to be able to see like some growth between both of them, because they both got fucking Gundams and they're getting worked out by beat up ass Zakus with missing parts and shit. So like,
yeah, but I mean, like, they took out two cop Zakus, so two well-trained pilots, then two experienced like combat fighters, right? And all what they had to do was sit there and think for a second, and then they're like, oh, the axe is over there,
Yeah, that's all that happened. But
was
that was only after the they new type, the Waken shit, though. Because before
well, not
that,
for the cop one. The cop one, she was
running
drilled.
Away. I swear she had the she did throw the axe, but
yeah,
I feel like she wasn't a capable pilot until she kind of had that burst of new type energy through that shit. Because she did get in that shit and it already activated, but she was just running around. She was literally running away from the cop until she got out of
shape. Yeah. Mm. So. And I don't like the little the other girl either.
Neon.
Like
she said she was a refugee, so she's like worried. I have to know more about her. I've known nothing about Neon. All I know is she's scared and she's in deep with Sarvi, some bad guys.
She's doing something for some money.
Yeah. I need to know.
It's just like I feel like it's so played out now, right? Like you could take that character and probably just follow her, and you don't even know what series you're watching. Like you don't know what you just don't know. Oh, this is Gundam. Like no, like certain people you could watch and be like, okay, I could kind of see what's going on here. Like I could watch Hero and see what's going on and see him pull a gun and see him do this and see him do that, and like, okay, you know what? I might be watching something that's Gundam related, right? With her, it just seems like it's another girl anime. It's just like another like quiet goth type girl, not goth as in like the way she dressed, but like a what am I thinking about? Like an isolated, really introvert. You're not going to get much from her until she breaks down and tells you her whole life story. And she was shipped off when she was like 2 days old and her parents didn't love her or something like that. It's just going to be like, I can't believe, man. I really don't want to hear this story.
Which kind of gets me, because I mean, like, that kind of confuses me, because sorry, but you like Build Fighters.
Build Fighters is different.
But you said like you can get like a sense that something Gundam-y is going on from just a static character walking around. Build Fighters, mm-hmm. I never got the sense that anything Gundam-y was going on. I felt like those were just people living.
That they're in a Gundam store.
But remember, like you said, if you remove that and she's just walking around, you could get the sense like, okay, there's something Gundam-y going on, right? And the Build Fighter people, if you remove that and they're just walking around, you wouldn't know that they're just. I would think they're just middle school kids just hanging out. I could think of a Yu-Gi-Oh. They're playing Yu-Gi-Oh or something.
In a DualShock.
DualShock 4.
No, but I see what you're saying. But like, that is so lighthearted to where this isn't lighthearted. This isn't like your Saturday morning cartoon feel. Build Fighters feels like it could come on WB and it'd be right after Yu-Gi-Oh! This is like it's trying to be still dark and gringy, but still have like its funny moments with the characters. And it's just like,
you're saying like it needs to pick one, it needs to be lighthearted or it needs to be dark,
right? Like think of the other Gundam series, and I know we're comparing them, right? But think of the other Gundam series, like. Imagine if War in the Pocket was played out like this, like Alfred played out like this, or Bernie played out like this. It wouldn't fit. It just doesn't fit. The Gundam series, when it starts doing this, it doesn't fit. Like Witch for Mercury felt that way. It felt like it wasn't.
So you don't tend to like those type of Gundam series where it has that. You want yours more grounded to be more interested.
Yeah, if that makes sense, or at least, like, that's why I said I wish it was a war, right, and not a battle system, because, like Austin said, there's no stakes, so everybody, you can't really feel the emotion. Like, if you look at this picture right here, obviously she's joking, but this isn't, like, imagine if Bernie did this in War in a Pocket, how seriously would you take it? Imagine if Mikazuki sat up there and did this type of move, or... I'll be like, for some apparent reason, it just doesn't. The characters and how they go through the show doesn't fit a Gundam series to me. Like the typical Gundam series. And I'm not trying to be like the old man. I want, you know, stay off my yard or lawn. But like, RFV, like Requiem, had at least a little bit of like damn, some shit. This shit is serious. And when it's lighthearted, right, you get Gundam Build Fighters. I like you said earlier, Austin, who is this for? Is it supposed to be lighthearted? Is it supposed to be gringy? Go just look at Seiji in Evangelion. Like, imagine if he was running around lighthearted on a damn time.
But I think this has a place in both for this show.
In both.
I think it has a place in both. It can be lighthearted because there is no war. There is no, the 1 year war is gone. And then it could be lighthearted because we're still dealing with children. But who's to say that them capturing the G-Quacks and them trying to get it back doesn't cause another faction, doesn't cause another issue?
You're going to see somebody get shot in the head.
I mean, actually, we watched Char kill a whole cockpit of people. So, I mean, I don't think they wouldn't show that without expecting to have some more death in the future.
And now I would agree with CD in saying that just because of this, remember, we're looking at just a small portion here. It can get serious down the road. Remember, Build Fighters got super serious in Re:Rise. At season one and season two are very different shows. There's literally people dying on screen.
I mean, we've seen a school massacre in Witcher Mercury.
Witcher Mercury, there was a school shooting and people literally dying everywhere on the screen. Students dying, right? So, it can turn on a dime. And I can see a serious potential story here, especially with the slums, with people right. living in slums and giving the backstory like, hey, we do these justice. Fights because so we can get enough money so we can leave here because we're persecuted people on living on, and they just kind of throw us away. Right, and you can see like a revolution getting started or something,
which is almost like IBO,
which is could be like IBO. It can become serious. It's just their first step forward didn't really hint at anything like that for me. Witcher Mercury hinted at that in the prologue with, you know, everybody's fun and everything like that, and then it's a tragedy, horrible things happen, right? And then it kicks you into almost too much of a tailspin. So now you're kind of whiplashed with this sudden wave of opulence. Right, and optimism, right? Or what was the other series, man? I was thinking of when I was watching this, it was like I think it was Birdie, which if for those who don't know Birdie, where a guy essentially has a female alien cop that can morph into his body, starts off just as kind of like a Saturday morning weapon of the week. Halfway through that, it becomes a horror show. Like there's body dysmorphia, like Cronenberg stuff going on. Dead people, it gender morphia, like people throwing up, and it was bad. So it can turn, but I just haven't seen it anything in their first step. Like in their first step, they should have at least thrown
hinted at it,
hinting at something that I could grab onto, and they just didn't here.
I'm gonna give it a shot. This is something I probably want to watch once it's dubbed. I don't think I'm gonna keep up with the sub, but I'll definitely watch it when it's dubbed and see how far it goes. And the fact that it's UC has me kind of, I know I want to be tuned into it. Not UC as in it's UC, but like has UC elements in it. I want to be tuned into it. So the surprising characters to see, you had Mirai's boyfriend that worked at Anaheim Electronics, right? Wasn't that Mirai's?
It was an old doctor too.
The doctor, Fillington, something like that. Yeah. So it was dope that they sprinkled in some still of the UC people in there.
Classic UC, like classic original Gundam music too. Like during the space scene and when they were fighting, when Char was fighting and shit. So I did. They kind of tried to pay homage to the UC before they got up out of there. They're like, yeah. Like this is where we came from. This is where we're at now.
And it's trying to take Gundam in this of a new direction, but still saying, hey, this is a what if in this old direction, we're just going to take this. And now here's the script and all that old stuff. Crossed all that stuff out. Here's some cool stuff that happens. Yeah. Here's some
new stuff. You this thought it was going to be.
Which that is Hideki no Anno. Hideki Anno is like that. So I was actually fully expecting something like this anyway, because Evangelion, you guys, is a trip. It's meant to be a trip.
over under 5 kits a piece. Well, I'm not going to get 5 kits from this series. CD, you
think you get 5 kits from this? I don't want any of the Zaku.
If they have a
I'm good with the Red Gundam and the G-Quacks.
I want the White Gundam and the Zaku with the fuel tank. That specifically the space type fuel tank,
The 01 Gundam?
The white Gundam. Yeah, in the white Gundam.
The 01.
Oh, the 01? No. I don't need the 01. Yeah.
The one he fought in space?
I don't like the head.
Yeah. Nah. I like it without the visor. Oh. Without the visor with the four eyes, that looks sick. If they do the four eyes underneath, it maybe.
If anything, maybe the cannon. The gun cannon.
Gun cannon?
If anything for me, the gun cannon.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just because it's like, it doesn't have, it has the visor. It has the visor. And I'm not a big fan of the eyes on the Gundam or on the G-Quacks. What do we think of the, my fault, Austin, what do we think of the pilot that got his ass whipped, the one that the G-Quacks, it didn't wake up for it? What's his name? Xavier?
Xavier? Yeah.
Get him out of here.
And it's funny when they were like, hey, the G-Quacks, he was able to activate it. And one of the ladies on the white base was like, or the soldier, what's it called now, but they're like, good going, Xavier. And then like 15 days later, yeah, he's been arrested. Like, what?
We didn't even talk about.
He was cooked. He had no motion.
Nothing. What about old boy? What's his name? Shuji. The pilot of the Red Gundam.
Also,
he's another clone.
I don't know. I'm just tired of Kundera's.
I don't know how he got the Gundam. I don't know if fucking Char was in another universe and he hopped in that shit and then the Red Gundam came back and he kind of just been in that bitch. But I don't know.
I don't know, man.
More to know.
Yeah, I don't know. After he sniffed Homegirl twice, right? And then like he's just a Kundera, so he has no emotion really. Like he's not hyperactive to any emotion. And I was like,
that's Pikazuki.
Yeah. Oh, it's Ray. That's Ray. That's I know right there. Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's Ray.
Exactly.
Right there. And I was like, well, okay.
So, what would be a letdown? What would be something that this series, like, you're anticipating for, and if it doesn't happen, you're like, you know, in a tank.
Well, this might be contradictory to everything I said. I fully expect this series to be better. To get better, because just like Evangelion, just like everything else they ever wrote, MAPPA has worked on, it gets better the longer it goes on. So I'm fully expecting this to be a better show by its full realization. I just wasn't hooked on this one, and what would turn it down for me is if they do a time skip. If they do a huge time skip where everybody's older, there's new characters introduced, stuff like that for season two, but like it's not a time skip that's worthy. It's a time skip where they're still doing space battles. And it's not like a time skip where a new one year war start or something like that. And they time skip where everybody's kind of not fully realized, but in the middle of combat and has been fighting for a while and now weathered and personalities have changed. I would hop on for that. But if they do a time skip and it's just like they're still doing Beyblade battles, I'm like, nah, I'm good.
I feel you on that shit. I think if they spend too much time in school, I think that'll definitely throw off a lot of people. I think that she was in, there's maybe like 30 seconds to a minute worth of her like class time, and I think Witcher Mercury kind of might have suffered than spending a little too much time talking. I didn't see that much, you know, talking in this one because of course you had to set up characters, but if they spend more time out of suits than in suits, I think that would
that's it for you.
Definitely.
They start going down. I think I'm almost on that same boat. And also, like, if they really keep diving into this battle system, like, I don't want to see two GMs versus two GMs, like, an episode like that. Like I really don't want to see any more. Let's get to what we have to get to with this battle system, and let's get back in space and start fighting for, like it's a war again, right? Like, let's not have Saturday morning cartoon.
You don't want a tournament arc?
No,
G-Quacks fighting for the underground championship.
Right. I don't want Fight Club. I don't want any of that. And if they give me more of that,
the skateboard I'm out. Kid too.
Yeah.
Jesus. So, man, I mean. It's exciting, obviously, for the Gundam series as a, in general, or franchise as a whole, because we get to see more production of things in the future. I mean, we get the live Gundam that was announced not that long ago, right? And I just hope that this is kind of like maybe fine tuning in on some things that we want to see. Like maybe
I think this is gonna do a good job of explaining new types. I think you have a question about that shit. I think this would give you the answers, hopefully.
Like maybe we get a little bit more origins. Like maybe we'll get origins OVA of all three, and you know, whatever the case. Maybe they're using this as like templates to draw and stuff like that. So you never know. Hopefully, I mean, like this Char looks like he came right out of the origins.
That's the most jarring thing too, is that you look at the Char, and you look at the 1 year war people, and they're such a different style.
And you look up,
And you look at all the new people, you're like, bro, Pokemon. It's
polar opposite,
right?
Polar opposite.
Like, I mean, all the way. Because look at even just the picture with Bull and his girl. That's nothing you would see in normal Gundam. Like he doesn't even look like he's like in you see, like he has the obviously the wardrobe on, but it's like, look at Char. Oh yeah, that's Gundam. And look up there. That's like, oh yeah, that's Build Fighters.
And the person,
I think that's a good testament though to the writer, because none of these guys have worked on Gundam, so like for them to nail Char down like they did, like that only tells me like, or they definitely did their research. So that's why I'm so high on it, because I believe like they, you know, they did their research to get what they needed to do well for that 1 year war. And I feel like they can't just fumble it now on the second arc.
And now that I'm talking about it, I might have hyped myself up a little bit too much for this, because I remember telling you like 2 weeks ago, I said, oh yeah, I'm definitely in. I was like, Evangelion, Fooly Cooly, all those guys in the writing room doing it.
You did
100% on it. Then I got in and I was fully ready for anything except for what I got. So then And I looked at the only thing that didn't bother me was characters. I thought I was going to dislike them more, but it's the same person who did Pokemon, who does all the new gen Pokemon designs. So what you're looking at is essentially Pokemon, I think past what, Black and Gold or whatever the new ones are. I don't play Pokemon. I'm sorry, everybody. So when I look at these characters, I'm just like, that's just Pokemon. It's whatever. Like, it just flies over my head. It's like, it's whatever. But I look at Char and it's just so jarring. It was like, you have such a defined nose. Your nose is drawn so well. And then I look at the new character, like, they're just points. They're just lines.
A line and space and dot. Upside down eye. That's what the girl has as a nose. But, we'll see how this comes out. I mean, what, April? April this is coming out?
End of April.
So, people, let us know down in the comments if you watched it and what y'all agree with or what y'all disagree with when it comes to us, our conversation here. We'll double back to it and let, I guess for CD, we'll let it stand alone. I want to know, so far, CD, you have the highest one. So we're going to ask you just like we asked Austin. You know, Austin, it ain't going to be the only one. So where do you think this, if everything plays out right, where do you think it falls? In the top five?
I could see it at five. I can look at my list, but I could definitely see it at five.
You can definitely see it at five? Four. Okay. There we go. It's not cracking my top five, so I'm not worried about that answer for me. And I'm pretty sure what Austin said is probably not going to beat out. Maybe this could beat out Wish for Mercury for Austin.
I'll tell you, man. No. That Wish for Mercury prologue had me raving for weeks. You saw a smile end to end on my face. I was like, guys, I can't read this. I'm coming in with cup in hand, asking you, please, sir. Make sense of what I've seen.
Literally, me and Austin have the same. We have his reaction was what I had. Like,
we have
like the music from this shit. I have it downloaded on my playlist. No, ever.
Bro, you sent it to me, and I legit got like 30 seconds into each song and skip. I was like, bro, dude, I don't know what shit. It is. I was like,
damn, Plasma. This shit right here. Love it.
Shoot,
love it.
I appreciate you sending me the list, though. I didn't even know the list existed.
Well, he's up there. All right. I mean, that's all we have for G-Quacks, people. Let us know, again, let us know in the comments down below, what do y'all rank it? What do y'all feel? How do y'all feel about it if y'all want to go see it in the theaters? Did you enjoy the time? Obviously, you probably did if you went with a group of friends like Austin and I did, or you went alone like CD. He enjoyed it as well. He said he was on the edge of his seat. So Let us know what y'all think. That's pretty much it. Austin, tell these people where they can get some of these kits from if they want to get the up-and-coming G-Quacks kit. You know what? I got you, Austin. You good? No, okay, cool. You can also go to VulcanHobby.com. Use code THEUNDERGATE10 to get 10% off of your order. That's VulcanHobby.com. Vulcan Hobby is a big supporter of the Undergated podcast and everything we do here, and we appreciate them. Again, September 20th, down in Birmingham, Alabama, will be the Plamo event. That's the third annual Plamo event, where it's going to be one of the biggest Gunpla competitions in the United States, if not the world, coming soon. Right? So make sure you use code Vulcan Hobby. Go to VulcanHobby.com. Use code THEUNDERGATE10 for 10% off your order. Shop small business, right? And then help that money funnels into the money for the Plamo event, right? So in the magazines. And there's a lot more going on. So make sure y'all stay tuned in with Vulcan Hobby. CD, tell them where you get some of these paints from, brother.
Yes. Shop SMS. Use code Chloe's Dad to get 10% off directly on the SMS website. I love their lacquer-based paints. They are already thin, so all you have to do is pour it in your gun, spray, go. Use Chloe's Dad. Get 10% off directly with SMS.
There you go. And if you want some good tools, Gun Primer has some pretty good tools, high-quality tools for your kits. And that's it. And if you go to their website, use COOP10, like CD has right there. It's the glazer. It's a finishing solution that you spray over on the rag and wipe down your kit and get it competition ready. They also have the balancer. They also have the razor itself, well, a glass file called the razor, and a lot more. Joint guard, panel line, scribing tape, you name it, they have it. Solution for decals, they pretty much have a whole lot. And you save a little bit by using COOP 10 directly with Gun Primer. And if you use 10% there and 10% on paints and 10% at Vulcan Hobby, you save yourself a pretty piece of change in the long run. And why not, right? Why not? So that's it, people. Don't judge a book by its cover. That's what this series is about. Don't judge a book by its cover. Austin, he judged a book by its cover and said, this is everything he wanted to be. And he opened the book and read it and wasn't put it down. He wanted to be.
I mean, by that word's coop, that means I expect you to be on episode 3, 4, and 5, brother.
Hey, I'm told you, I want to give at least the
first five, right?
The first five treatment. I'm going, like I said, dub, though. We'll wait till they get dubbed. Mm. But in general, treat everybody as you want it. The golden rule, and I remember somebody told me it was one called the platinum rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. Like if you want to be treated nice, you want to be treated kindly, treat others as you want to be treated. Work on mastering your ego, people, because your ego could get you killed.
Literally.
Your ego could get you killed. I'm Coop. Down there is Austin. Over there is CD. We're the Undergated.
Keep your head on a swivel.
168 hours down, another 168 hours to go. Till next time. Peace.